What is up, everyone? Episode 67 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. Danny Belsito is back. I hate that you missed Coach Rob because, one, we got a lot of great responses. A lot of people told me they listened. Someone actually walked up to me in the Wingate cafeteria, and if they hear this episode, I'm so sorry. I didn't catch their name. And they literally looked at me and said, "How did you get Rob from Last Chance U?" I've never spoke to them in my entire life. And that was a really cool moment. And I'm like, hey, just kind of, you know, test the waters and see what's out there. But that one had some good pub. Hate that you missed it, though.
Yeah, man, I hate that I missed it as well. Man, life's been crazy. I can't even like try and downplay it. So busy with work, so busy with everything. Like just sitting down and getting 5 minutes to myself is hard enough. But to be honest, I would sacrifice that alone time to be here with you doing the podcast. So I'm even more upset that I missed it. But man, I mean, how good is that feeling? I told you one time that happened to me at the Food Lion. Somebody came up and complimented us on the podcast. I mean, it's like one of the best feelings in the world. That's why we do it. I mean, for those that listen, we're not making much money off of this podcast, if any at all.
Really?
I mean,
yeah,
what we're making
none.
Is like selling stickers by hand. And I had to be retired from tennis for us to even be able to do that via NCAA rules. Thanks, NCAA.
Compliance.
But compliance. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Corey, shout out Corey Villas. But yeah, man, that was a good one. I mean, he's so energetic. You could just tell the love, right? And for us to get somebody like that, you know, they say, "How did you get Coach Rob?" You know, we can give them any answer. My answer is always, well, because Donnie's a savage. That's how he always finds people, and he asks, and we put the hook out there, right? We put the bait out, see if anybody wants to come on.
It's just a cast into the ocean, man. Right. And it's really
we're getting
bad.
Bigger and bigger. But that was great. Sad I missed it, like you said, but I will try my absolute best not to miss another one till the end of 2021. Can't promise anything because, you know, I'm a rolling stone, but I will try and be at every podcast the rest of the way.
I love it. Let's start things off with a quick little life update. I know you mentioned, of course, you've been busy with work. Haven't really had much time to sit down and probably breathe. That's kind of how it's been for me the last few months, I'd say, but officially, we're recording this Monday, April 26th. I am officially done for the semester, more than likely, unless something is insane with men's lacrosse making the national championship, which is at UConn, and I'll be up northeast this summer, so you never know. But definitely done working Wingate home sporting events for the semester, which is unbelievable because I remember back in, I think it was either January, February, or one of those days we sat down and got coffee and kind of just were looking at our schedules like, man, we've got this and this coming up and that coming up and everything. And it flew by. And April is literally like a sneeze and it's done. April has probably been the fastest month I've experienced in the last year or so. I mean, because I've been looking forward to May for so many reasons, to get up to Long Island, to get up to Syracuse for, you know, just the entire summer. It's flown by. So now I'm safe to say that I'm just focusing on schoolwork, LOL. Just getting, you know, getting things done. Finals start next week, of course. Crazy to say that, you know, the semester's flown by, but that's pretty much all that's on my end, man. How is the job not working in sports?
Yeah,
man. Give everyone the insight.
I will be honest with you. It is tough. I mean, for somebody who grew up in sports and eats, sleeps, breathes sports, like we both do, right? But obviously I have since a very young age, to transition so quickly out of college sports and then basically the only time I get to talk sports is in my free time and when we do the podcast. Whereas, you know, it used to be 6 a.m. to midnight, I'd be thinking about sports and talking about sports and working in sports, right? So it is different, but it's good. It's a learning opportunity. It's new challenges. I love a challenge. So being able to come in, you know, I keep calling myself the freshman in the professional world because, you know, you graduate from college and then you immediately become a freshman. In the pro world, you got to learn. You have new coaches, new teammates, right, that you're working with, learning from. So it's a completely new experience, man. Thankfully, this past week, my license finally got approved. I passed the licensing test on the 1st of April, but now finally the license has been approved. So now that means I can start selling actually and getting commission off of sales. Haven't made any yet considering I got approved like 3 days ago. So take it easy on me, guys. But hopefully soon enough, we will be celebrating the first sale. But I mean, a quick word of advice, and I know we're going to harp back on this a bit later, but you know, that transition is not easy. right? That transition from college to the real world, the working world, it's not easy. So understanding that going in has helped me a lot, right? And coming from being a freshman in college, a freshman in professional sports, a rookie, right? I'm used to that mentality. And me and you are those guys that we preach day in and day out. Keep that mentality. Keep that always learning, always a student. And, you know, you'll get a little bit of achievement every day when something resonates and it sticks and you put it into application. So that's where I'm at now. Just trying to put that that knowledge to use. And hopefully we're celebrating some commission, taking a kicking it trip to the beach.
I will not say no. I think we should touch on that now. We're already kind of talking on our life advice. But for me, even though I haven't really gotten, of course, into the post-undergrad world yet, if you will, I think for me, one thing that I've always prided myself in, and again, it wouldn't be a conversation with Donnie Sherrell if he didn't mention his mom. My mom always told me, you know, and both my parents, but my mom specifically, never be afraid to talk to anyone. And that was said often because I moved a couple of times when I was younger. It was hard making friends when you go into these new towns, new schools, new environments. It was always, Donnie, go say hi. Donnie, ask someone what their name is. It was always, you know, just be the initiator. And now I think it's beautifully transitioned to hopefully, of course, post-grad, where I can go into the job market or I can just be a quote unquote free agent, do cold emails, do cold calls, just say, hi, my name's Donnie. I'm this, this, and that from Wingate University. You know, can I speak with you? I've done that so many times. And that's the thing too, if anyone's listening right now that needs that advice or just, you know, needs some reassurance, you don't have to wait until you're done with school to do these things. Like you mentioned, Danny, just staying ahead of the game, you know, trying to plan out your, you know, your day in advance and not just be behind the eight ball, but be proactive opposed to reactive. Because once you get out there, it's more of just like a, you know, you may think, oh, I have all this freedom. One thing that I think I thought early on in my college career, but now that I've gotten closer to the end, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to have this life that, you know, everyone seems to think you do just as soon as you get your diploma in your hands. So for me, like I said, being proactive rather than reactive, talking to literally anyone and everyone, take you far. It'll take you far.
I mean, Donnie, coming from somebody who is a few years down the line in terms of in the professional working place, right? You know, myself compared to you, I can't even explain how much you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when I was going through my undergraduate career, I'll be honest, I was so solely focused on doing as well as I can, reaching my academic and athletic goals, that part of me didn't even want to start thinking about my future and life after university because I was caught in the moment, which I don't think is a bad thing, right? I don't think it's a bad thing to be enjoying your college life and the process of growth that you have in college, because you only get it once, right? There's only one first time going to college, right? You can go back to grad school or get your master's and your doctorate and your law degree. It's not the same, guys. Like, you're, you know, 4 years living on campus, meeting people, growing. It is a great time, but you're 100% right, Donnie, because I learned this pretty early on, but didn't put it into application truly until I came and hung out with you and your dad, Andy, sat there with us eating dinner and was telling me, you know, Danny, you know, you seem like a good kid, smart kid, you know, something I always tell Donnie, and that's exactly what he said, is be proactive, go talk to people. And for the people who know me, right, and who have come up and talked to me, you know that I am that, right? Once you get to know me, I'm very talkative and I'll debate you and we'll have a good conversation and we'll learn and I'll challenge you and I want you to challenge me. That's how I show my love, right? That is how I show my love with my brothers and sisters that I have. But I needed to hear that because I didn't know how important it was. And so then I put that into application as I was going through grad school, because obviously I went back to school. I didn't immediately graduate from undergrad and go to school. But that's exactly right. Preparation, talking to people, expanding your network is so important, man, because you don't know what that can bring. I mean, you know better than most. Just putting yourself out there can get you opportunities, man. We've got people on our podcast just from putting out that bait, like we said, just trying to see if somebody's willing to talk. And we've created friends that we still talk to. We've created relationships, and that's going to work out in your favor professionally. So I would say that is, you're dead on. I mean, for those of you now who are still in school, send those emails out now, man. Like, prime that LinkedIn page, do all those little things that you roll your eyes when your teachers tell you to do, right? The LinkedIn page, send emails, message people, find mentors. Like, I can't explain to you how important it is to have like Coach Kirkland and, you know, Brandon Hunt, I hope he watches, and even Josh, right? My NFL correspondent, who we'll get into later, you know, he graduated 1 year before me and I learned from him every day. Like, don't think you know all the answers. Go learn from people who have been there, and please come to me. Like, people who are listening, hey, Danny, you're working, you got a job fresh out of college, which is true. I was very blessed and very lucky. I will give you every piece of advice that I have. And I know a ton of people that will do the same. So expand your network, prepare, and be ready to learn. Keep that freshman mentality.
Freshman mentality. I like that a lot. Way to kick things off, man. Way to kick things off. No pun intended, kicking things off. We saw a vicious kick to the shin, and I'm terrible for saying that because you can get into it with UFC 261. Jorge Masvidal pretty much got obliterated, and one guy broke his leg. That is the extent of my knowledge to this weekend. Dive in for us. Let's hear it.
First of all, I just want to say how absolutely unbelievable that transition was, you know, kicking it, kicked in the shin. And you know what's the scary part about it, Donnie? And you know, thank you for that transition. I'll try and be quick. You know how I can get with my UFC recaps. But yes, UFC 261 was this past Saturday in Jacksonville. First event with a full crowd indoors. I can't even believe I'm saying that. We had been talking about this since we started the podcast during COVID, talking over Zoom. Who's going to be the first sport? What are they going to do? How's it going to look? And here we are over a year later from when the world was shut down and we had our first full capacity indoor event, for better or for worse, obviously. You know, people are going to have their differing opinions on that. But what a show. That is the only thing I'm going to say. If you missed it, guys, I'm telling you, I tell you this every single time I talk about UFC. I will tell you every single time moving forward, it is worth it. Buy the pay-per-view. Watch, I promise. Don't go out to dinner once during that week and buy that pay-per-view instead, because this was by far the most exciting card I've ever watched. And I'm not just throwing that around. The whole main card was amazing. And to go through rather quickly, and then I'll harp on the main event a little bit longer. The first fight of the night, Anthony Smith, bit of a veteran. He's had a lot of fights in the UFC. Fought Jimmy Crute, up-and-coming Australian fighter. Very strong. A lot of people picked Crute to win this fight. And Anthony Smith did something that it's becoming a prominent factor in MMA today, and that's that calf kick. I don't, you know, for anybody who watched Conor McGregor fight, that is basically the sole reason why Dustin Poirier beat Conor McGregor, in my opinion. He broke down the leg, and when you chop down those trees, eventually everybody falls, right? And that's what happened. He kept kicking the leg, kept kicking the calf.
It's a good analogy.
Thank you, sir. All of a sudden, Jimmy Crute went down. He had that, what they call drop foot, when you hit that perennial nerve right behind the calf, and everything was gone. Couldn't get up, couldn't stand up after the first round. Ref called off the fight. People need to learn to defend this kick. They just have to, or this is going to continue to happen. So Anthony Smith moved on. Big win over a young guy. And then the fight you were talking about came next. Chris Weidman, former middleweight champion, fought Uriah Hall, which was a rematch of like 10 years ago.
Can I just say real quick?
Please, please.
If you went to rewatch, I'm not you, Danny, you in general. If you went to rewatch the injury that occurred more than one time, you're sick in the head. Because that was, I listened to Pardon My Take earlier today on my run, and the guys were saying how he didn't notice that it was broken, or his leg was broken, I think is a kind way to say it, until he looked down, and then, or when he tried to like land, go ahead, take the wheel, please. I'm going to throw up.
I mean, you're saying it, and all the emotion that you had. I mean, Donnie, I'll be honest. You know, I watch every MMA event, every single one. And at this point, I feel like I know all the moves, right? I don't do it all the time. Right? I train a little bit, but not to the point I know everything. But like, I feel like I know what's coming. I have an expectation. This guy's strategy is this. This guy's going to try to employ this, blah, blah, blah. But when you're sitting there watching, you are not reminded of the pure risk that these guys take every time they step in the cage to see something like that happen. And I want to give a shout out to former Wingate lacrosse player Brendan Asplin, who is my very close friend. He was the house photographer for this card. I mean, I just want to shout him out.
What?
We're bringing him on the pod very soon.
Next.
Yes, he is shooting photos down in Jacksonville. I mean, like the nicest guy in the world. And he messages me, hey, Danny, I'm going to be the house photographer for UFC 261. I couldn't believe it.
Okay, that's it. He's on next week.
I'm telling you, he's amazing. I need to hear about it. And I was messaging him throughout the show. Donnie, he messaged me after that, holy expletive. And he goes, the sound that just made silenced the arena. And you can't even tell that. I watched it and I heard it. It sounded like a normal leg kick. It really did. It sounded like he hit the calf. Maybe it was half checked or not.
What did it sound like though when his leg hit the octagon? That's, Oh my God.
Donnie, it's one of the most sickening things. Like, I'm telling you guys, if you have any fear of these injuries, please do not go back and watch.
No.
What you remember Kevin Ware when it happened with Louisville?
And we literally talked about this in the car yesterday. Me, Sam Hyman, and Trey Harrell, our good friends. We were saying, what's the worst leg injury you've ever seen? That one's up there. Kevin Ware for sure. Paul George. There's another one that I'm leaving out that I remember.
Sean Livingston had a terrible one.
Oh gosh. Sean Livingston's was awful. I'm thinking of one though.
Marcus Lattimore had a bad one. College football.
Why did you just take that out of my head? I was literally thinking of that as soon as I said leg injury. It's going to come back to me, but yeah, that was terrible.
Terrible. Right. And so he told me, he says, the sound, man, he says, I'll never forget this sound in my life. It was so disgusting. And what I was going to mention about the Kevin Ware injury is you actually saw, right, compound fracture. So you saw his shin sticking out of his leg. I almost would prefer to see that, Donnie, simply because it looked so crazy. It almost looked fake. Like, it didn't register in my head that that was like a real leg. Like, I'll be honest, when I watch this guy kick and it snap and you see the foot curve around the, and it's disgusting to say, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And then he lay, one of the worst injuries I've seen live in person. Fight obviously immediately ended. It was so bad that Uriah Hall went back to his corner and kneeled facing away. And he's a professional MMA fighter. He couldn't even look. He's like, I had to look at my team. I couldn't look. Respect to him. Disgusting. That fight was about 17 seconds long. First strike. And that happened. Couldn't believe it.
Respectfully, I'll say let's move on because I'm disgusted.
Yeah, let's move on from that. Then there were three championship fights that I'll skim through. Valentina Shevchenko, probably the most dominant woman's fighter in MMA, if not the most dominant fighter altogether. She defended her belt again, destroyed Jessica Andrade, who was supposed to be her most vicious challenger, and she ragdolled her, probably the way that any of these fighters would ragdoll us. I mean, it looked like she was kind of playing with a child. It really was just so simple. She's so dominant. Now it's just a question of who she fights next. So I'm excited to see that. Next fight, strawweight championship. Rose Namajunas, former champion, became the first female fighter in MMA or in UFC history to win the same belt on two separate occasions, which is crazy to think about considering so many champions have been so dominant and then they've lost and they've fallen off. What she did is she lost. She came back, had two dominant performances. Knocks out Weili Zhang with a head kick, reclaims her belt and became the queen of the strawweight division again. And then you mentioned it a little bit, Jorge Masvidal, man, one of the biggest superstars in MMA right now, all over the media. Everybody loves to watch this guy. So exciting. He ate his words. At the end of the day, it should have been a learning experience the first time around, talking and then getting ragdolled, wrestled, his feet stomped, shoulder strike, he got everything, right? He got carried around, but he kept talking. And I can appreciate that. Everybody on this podcast listening knows how much I can appreciate some good trash talk, but I've never seen somebody eat their words like that. He had been talking all week about Usman having zero knockout power, nothing in the hands. He's saying he shouldn't feel like a man because he doesn't have the ability to knock somebody out with his hands. And Donnie, I know you saw it. It was one of the most vicious 1-2 knockouts I've ever seen. Boxing, MMA, any combat sport, he connected, and all of the sweat and spit from Jorge Masvidal made a cloud above his head. It was one of the craziest pictures I've seen.
Did which I'm your sure buddy get a picture? Asplund
probably got crazy.
Did he? He got a good one.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody go follow Brendan Asplund. Asplund,
we're gonna go. We're gonna plug him.
He's absolutely amazing. We'll get him on very soon, and we'll talk about it. But yeah, incredible. Unbelievable night, Donnie. I can't get over it. I'm still buzzing to this day about how unbelievably exciting that was. And I cannot wait for the next pay-per-view in May.
Well, thank goodness it's over with, because it seems like if it would have continued, we may have had some maybe some more concussions, some more injuries. I did see that the guy who had his leg.
Chris Weidman, yeah.
Weidman, his surgery was successful, so he's recovering now. Thank goodness. But moving on, after we totally just wanted – me to like literally just stop talking about UFC because my stomach hurt.
Please don't go watch it, people. I promise you,
it's not worth it. April 29th, NFL draft is almost here, 3 days away from when we're recording. We could go into this whole mock draft thing. I think we did that last year because let's be honest, we were so blessed bored. We like picked the top 10. And we went back and we're like, yeah, let's see if we got the, it died out. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, if the Cowboys don't pick a defensive player in this first round, if they somehow trade up to get Kyle Pitts, I will be irate. And two, if Kyle Pitts falls to them and they still take him, I'll be irate. It needs to be Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, and that's really it. I mean, I don't think you – maybe an offensive lineman if there's one that's good that's there, because Dallas's offensive line is dwindling as we speak. I did hear Carolina maybe in the market for a quarterback. Your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I'm interested. And you know, before we get into this, I think it is fun this year for us to talk, because both of our teams are in a similar spot in the draft, right? Mm-hmm. With similar needs.
What is it, 8 and 10? Yeah.
Yeah, Panthers 8 and 10. If you think about it, both of us are in the market for a corner. Both of us would not mind having that. I mean, obviously you have a little bit more trustworthy quarterback than we do, so we're probably in the market for a quarterback a bit more.
And, I would say you saying a little bit more trustworthy, and I know you're joking, a little bit more trustworthy is a slap in the face, because it's Dak Prescott here, Sam Darnold.
All right. I mean, all right, you caught me. I was just trying to get you going there a little bit, and you didn't
fall for the trap. It worked.
You didn't fall for the trap. But no, of course we're in the market. And with the quarterbacks that we have now, I mean, and I want to shout out before I get into anything, this is all information that I've talked with our NFL correspondent, Josh Utoit, friend of the pod, who we need to bring him on. It's crazy that he has not come on yet. Maybe
he could be our Todd McShay. We could bring him on after and he could talk about the.
We should. I think so. I think we do a draft recap. He'll tell us his highs, his lows. Anyway, he had told me, he said, the only real quarterback that he believes that we're interested in right now is Justin Fields, truthfully. He says, we didn't even go to Trey Lance's second pro day. Didn't really like give him much effort. So I don't think that's a potential opportunity. And obviously we know Justin Fields, there's some talk going around, man. There's a lot of negative talk surrounding this guy. There's a lot of things that have happened throughout his college career. I just don't think we can overlook the talent of this guy. I mean, if you want to talk about things that have happened in his college career, you can do it. At the end of the day, if you're going to pick a guy in the top 10, you should probably be looking at his potential for the future. And I think he's one of the most promising quarterbacks that there is in this draft, if not the most. I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence is right there. Everybody's been talking about him since however many years ago. So there's not much debate there. But if Justin Fields is there for us, it's definitely an opportunity, even with getting Sam Darnold. I mean, you know me, I like Sam Darnold. A lot of people rag me for it, but a lot of people rag me for Ben Simmons. And I'm never going to hop off that train either. So I don't think it would be bad if we don't. And, me and Josh have our eyes on one guy, and you mentioned him. That's J.C. Horn. I like Patrick Surtain, right? But there are some questions when you watch his tape. I mean, he makes some questionable decisions, gets called for a few flags, But J.C. Horn, man, this guy talks the talk. And obviously, we know from having a little bit more inside info, right, being on social media with Jalen Brooks, who went from Wingate to USC. Yep. I mean, the improvements that kid made probably has a lot to do with having to go one-on-one with J.C. Horn. I mean, J.C. Horn has some of the best highlights, some of the best tape, and he does one thing that old Danny Breezy here loves, and that's talk a whole lot of trash. And so having that guy in our secondary, I wouldn't be mad at, because if you go back to our championship year, right, when we went to the Super Bowl, we had a guy like that. We had Josh Norman, and that type of guy can kind of lift that defense up. We've got a good defense, but he could be that turning factor. He could give us that swag that we need. So J.C. Horn's who I definitely have my eye on there. Obviously, we need line help, just like you do. Mm-hmm. We could each add a piece. So I think we're looking at the same guys, man. I think a lot of who you may pick at 10 is going to have a lot to do with who we pick, because there's only a few defensive players really in the mock for the first round right now. And we are both teams who are looking for that. So I'm interested to see, man. If Fields is there, great. If he's not, maybe an offensive lineman's there. Maybe Sewell's there. Slater, I know Josh is saying Sewell's the guy he's looking at. He may go there.
I think
there.
Sewell's going to go to Cincinnati.
And see, I thought the same. Right. He tends to think that Ja'Marr Chase might potentially go there just to realign those guys together, Burrow and Chase. Who knows? Be a fun story. But regardless, right, one of those guys is going to drop. Carolina's going to pick them up. Whether it's Sewell, Slater could go to Dallas as well, get a big lineman. But I like Horn. I like you guys to get Surtain. I like impact players, right? And, getting the corners, a couple of corners, two of the best three defensive players in the draft, I think is a good way for us to get going into this year. I mean, we certainly need the help on the line and in the defense. But I do know Matt Rhule has seen a lot of these players because, he had the Senior Bowl. He went to it. He knows a lot of these guys through his pipelines of coaching. We have a lot of advantages in those middle rounds. So I think, in terms of offensive linemen, we might make some moves. Who knows? We might trade down, man. If our guys we like aren't there, we might trade down to the middle range, 18 to 20 range, get another second round pick and hopefully load up that way. But man, it's going to be a fun draft. I know that.
I will say that this is the one year I think that I wouldn't be mad if Dallas traded down. if they're not 1000% on Patrick Surtain, which I think they are, but if for some reason they're not, maybe trade down and try and snag Caleb Farley, maybe in like the 20s. You get an edge rusher, you get Jalen Phillips from Miami, Asante Samuel Jr. You never know. So I think you could go either way, but as long as Dallas doesn't mess up this pick. But that's the thing, though. We judge these picks so hard, and if the guy doesn't turn out to be like this Pro Bowl player, it's like, oh, they you know, it was a bust. Not necessarily. I mean, if you get a starter for 5 years and he's solid, I won't be upset. And I think Dallas, I say this every year, but, you know, whatever. I think we have enough talent to at least make a run in the NFC if we can somehow just win our division, which should not be that hard, but, you know, I digress. But talking about the NFL draft, it's too many what ifs, man. It's too many what ifs. I was, like I said earlier, listening to PMT, and they had on Todd McShay, and they asked him how many mock drafts he does. And right there alone, I'm like, what changes? Like, I get the whole, you know, pro days. I get the whole workouts. We didn't really have a combine this year. It's just too much. So without further ado, we'll go from one thing that has a lot of question marks to another thing that had a lot of question marks, the Super League. And we don't really talk soccer as much as I think, honestly, I'd want to. My knowledge just isn't there. I know some, but not as, you know, extensive as maybe basketball, baseball, or football. But the Super League, just to give everyone an update, it's not going to happen. Pretty much to boil it down, you know, Super League for Dummies, because I had to probably take a page out of that book. Basically, all of the top teams in Europe wanted to form a team together so they could all just play each other and take all that profit. Am I missing anything from that? That's pretty much
right?
That's the gist. That ended up not happening because soccer fans protested. They were pissed off, as they should have been, because that's a joke. That's literally like saying right now, hey, the Packers, the Saints, the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills, let's make our own league. Let's get out of the NFL. What? Like, no, that's stupid. So right there, blanket statement. I think it was dumb. What do you think?
My thought about it is it's hard. I don't know. It's hard for me because part of me loves that part of soccer. I really do. Mm-hmm. Part of me loves how you have the best teams in Italy, and then you have the best teams in Spain, you have the best teams in England, and then those teams compete against each other all year, and then you have the Champions League, right? You have those teams who play each other. But you can understand why they may think about this, right? Because if you think about the NBA, the NFL, it's blatantly clear to anybody who knows anything, the NBA is the best league far and away, and they're in one place under one jurisdiction, and they play, and you know who's the best players in the NBA. Same with the NFL. MLB obviously has, you know, leagues in Japan, China, and the Dominican Republic, which have players who come to the MLB. So you know that there are stars everywhere. But you know that the MLB is where you're trying to get to, right? So part of me was thinking, you know what? It's not the worst idea. I mean, you got to think soccer and FIFA and UEFA, they're just like the IOCs and these committees who, at the end of the day, even like NCAA, you have to bring it up, that takes so much profit for themselves, right? I mean, that is just what it's been made to do. And at some point that needs to change, and the players and the money needs to go more towards the players, towards the teams. And we need to, you know, provide more financial response to the people who are making it happen. But I'm with you, because as soon as that came out and the articles came out, and then it became like, oh, if you play in this, you can't play in your league. And if you play in this, you can't play in the Champions League. If you play in this, you can't play in the World Cup. That, for me, showed one, that, why are we surprised? I mean, the corruption in these leagues, like, they know that there's billions of dollars to be made for them. And if they have the power to say, okay, you want to do this? No Champions League, no World Cup, no play in your league, and you got to put all your eggs in that basket, nobody's going to do that. But you're right. I mean, a lot of fans were saying, no, what? Especially when it came out that if this happens, it's going to change how all of the country's leagues, Champions League, Europa League, I mean, all these leagues were going to be empty of these top teams. Unfortunately, I think for those teams who went out and said on a limb they would join the Super League, you're going to see some things come back on them. I know there's been coaches saying they should get fined, they should be sanctioned, they should be punished. I'm not on that level. I think that's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors, just trying to even the playing fields. But I like things the way they are. I'll be honest. I mean, I love
seeing
I love seeing that Barcelona or Madrid can win in Spain. And then you got Man City, right? Liverpool in England. You've got all the teams in Italy, Germany, all these leagues. And then we all come together, France, and then the Champions League. That's why it's so big. That's why you love the Champions League, because it's like that, all the seasons are going on at once. That's what one of my favorite things about soccer. I love it when people win the treble. They win the four when it's the League Cup. They win the Champions League. They win the Country's Cup. I love that, man. It's like one of my most favorite things. You can look at the schedule and your, you know, your Spurs, right, can be in the FA Cup.
They stink.
Prem. Everything all at once. It's beautiful. I love it. I don't think it should have changed. I mean, I need to learn more about it. I need to learn more the ins and outs of it, but I like things the way they are. To be honest, if it ain't broke, leave it.
Don't fix it. I like that. I think that's enough for soccer. Now from, you mentioned Liverpool, one of their part owners, LeBron James, is coming back to the Lakers soon. Yes. What does this mean? You texted me our itinerary. I just want to say that. Shout out to Danny tonight. Are Lakers still Western favorites with Bron coming back? Well, I will say back in, I want to say January or February, I made a sticky note statement. For those that don't know what a sticky note statement is, I'll give you a backstory. Back when our good friend, former guest of the pod two times, Nick Robinson, worked at Wingate as the marketing GA, he sat obviously in the athletic communications office and he had a wall full of sticky notes. And we'd always joke around and say, you know, let's make a sticky note prediction. And if you got it right, you get a W. And, you know, if you got it wrong, we made a big scene, you know, filmed it, put in the L, pretty much just, you know, accountability. Nick is not here anymore. He's at AUM, like he's mentioned, but we still kept the sticky notes alive. And my first one of 2021 was in February. It said, the Lakers will not make the NBA Finals. So to answer your question, with that being said, I'm going to say no. I think it's better to bet the field in the West than to say the Lakers. I get that this time off probably has helped LeBron, probably has helped AD, but, and I know we've said too, you know, I agreed with you, they can turn it on whenever. I don't know. I think the West is just too interesting this year. I really like Phoenix. I really like the Clippers, contrary to what people have said in years past. I wouldn't say they're Western favorites, man. I'd still put them two or three, but I'm not going to say they're not going to win the West. That was just a prediction that I said, and I'm probably going to be wrong. As of right now, no, I wouldn't say they're West favorites. What would you say?
Well, I mean, before I get into it, if you don't mind me prodding, right? If not the Lakers, who would you lean towards right now as the favorite? Like if somebody had said, hey, you got to put your money on one team, who would it be in the West?
I would say the Clippers. I just have this weird feeling. I'm saying the Clippers. I think it's the Clippers. And if things align perfectly, and you could literally take that in whatever way you want, I would say Phoenix, man. I really like Phoenix.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I really can. And I know what everybody's going to think. They're going to think how Danny was just setting Donnie up. Of course the Lakers are still the favorites. And I wish that was how I felt. I do. I wish it was. But I said on the last podcast I was on, two podcasts ago, the number one team I'm scared of right now is the Clippers. Because for me, the Clippers' downfall. Please go.
Also, I forgot Utah. They're 44-16. So another team. Continue.
Right. And you know, isn't that like so telling of what, you know, the NBA fans just have a consensus thought about Utah? Like you can't even see them doing anything unless you see an old highlight of Stockton and Malone in the jerseys. Like outside of that, you're like, whatever, Utah. Who knows? Maybe Mitchell and Gobert are the next Stockton and Malone. Oh, gee, I can't believe I just said that's ridiculous. But no, man, I'm leaning Clippers as well. I want to sit here and say,
whoa, you're leaning Clippers?
I am. And let me tell you why. Wow. I want to explain why. I don't want you to overreact too fast. Here's why. Here's why. The Clippers last year, I told you that some of their downfall would be because everybody was talking about them, including yourself, right? You were one of the guys saying the Clippers have what it takes, and they did. The Clippers have the team that's set up to beat the Lakers, and they did. I'm not even sitting here and acting like they didn't. I completely agreed with all those statements. I just thought LeBron and AD were too much. I just thought those are the best players in the world. That's the best tandem in the world since Clay and Steph were not healthy. You heard it right here. They were the best tandem because of that. And because of that, I had full belief in them. This year, I don't have it. And it's obvious reasons why, right? Injuries have plagued them. And because they have new players on the team this year, they needed time to gel, just like the Clippers did. And because of load management, we consistently saw the Clippers not playing with their best lineup all year long last year. And everybody said, when they get their full lineup, mate, you cannot flip the switch like that. You can't all of a sudden gel when it's championship time. And we saw what happened to them. They fell apart. And I am so scared, petrified, horrified at the idea of them having to play the Lakers this year. I'm so scared of the Lakers having to play the Clippers in a conference finals. I mean, as of right now, they're the 3 and the 5 seed. Who knows what that's going to be come season ending. I'm just hoping we can avoid them. man, if the Clippers are 2 and the Lakers are 4, I'm happy with that. I don't want to see the Lakers at 3 and the Clippers at 2 because I will be so scared and Utah is going to be so rested. They're so good on the defensive end. So as of right now, unfortunately, I'm leaning towards the Clippers. And my answer to the question that I set up to you, which I'm sure you thought we were going to differ in opinion. Surprise, surprise, guys. We don't differ in opinion. I also am leaning towards the Clippers. And I want to also mention before, you know, you have your rebuttal or we move on from this, I want to give you credit too, because I had zero real belief in Phoenix. Like I thought, okay, Phoenix, whatever. And granted, they got Chris Paul, who I still think it's blasphemy that he's in the MVP conversation, but like people are laughing at Steph Curry. Like if you're looking at Steph's stats, you look at Chris Paul's stats, great. I get it. You can't compare it because Phoenix is second. Golden State's sitting at 10th right now.
Right.
Right. So I can understand why we're saying that. And obviously I have no leg to stand on considering I predicted Luka, who I thought who's still putting up crazy numbers. I mean, let's not overlook what this guy is doing, but I expected them to be even higher than 6. I really did. But anyway, as of right now, the West does not look like how I thought it was going to look like at all. So it is hard for me to lean towards the Lakers. I mean, obviously we have about, 20 games to go?
Hard to believe, man. That's flown by, too.
Even that many games?
Maybe. I think the regular season wraps up mid-May. So, no, it's 72 games.
72. So we're very close to the playoff. 12 or 13 games to go. They don't have time to get up there. I'm just praying, Donnie. I truly am. If right now I could pencil – right now with my little golf pencil in the standings, leave Utah at 1, put the Clippers up to 2, so they're even further away from dropping in, let Phoenix stay at 3, whatever, and have LA play Denver, right? No Jamal Murray. I think that's set up in the second round or in the first round. That's fine. And then we need Utah. That's fine. We can get Phoenix or – and I'm not that scared of Phoenix, to be honest. If we can get the Clippers in the conference finals, I've got no belief that Clippers team could put it together. If we get them in one of the first two rounds, I'm worried. I'm telling you, sound the alarms. I'll be betting on Clippers to win that series. I truthfully will. So as of right now, my answer is the same as yours. No.
Wow. Let the record show that this actually happened. Wow. I'm in shock. I didn't expect you to go this way. I was expecting you to maybe give me some Utah talk and try and talk ourselves into it, but the look on your face says otherwise, which I understand. But if the only way you guys will play them, I say you guys, you're part of the Lakers.
I'm a Warriors fan, baby. I'm a Warriors fan.
Well, they might get a play-in game.
Heck yeah, we're going to get a play-in game.
And not, they're right there,
not
actually.
So they'll play fault of our own because of the Sam Hymans just can't figure out a way to get their team. The Sacramento Kings can't find a way to come take it from us. They can't even beat this Warriors team.
Sam Hyman didn't say anything, and he was brought into this. So yeah, I'm sorry, Sam, if you hear this.
He did say something. Don't let your friend off so easy. He said.
I'm saying right now, he did say that the Kings are going to make the playoffs. So that's not going to happen. Like I said, the only way you guys would play the Clippers in the first round is if somehow they lose more than 3 games in a row and the Nuggets somehow go on a winning streak. But then you'd get the Clippers kind of limping in. So either way, real quickly, before we close, how fun is it to see the Knicks good at basketball again? Can we just talk about that?
I don't even want to talk about it, Donnie, because I don't want it to go away.
Please tell me you're not hating on the Knicks.
Life, and please just correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm setting that up because I know you feel the same way. There are just some teams you want to see at the top of the sport. Like you want to see the Yankees and Red Sox in the ALCS. You want to see the Knicks. You just want to see MSG. You want to see the Knicks Nation talking their talk. It's just something beautiful about it, right? Like, it just reminds me of Melo when they played against the series against Boston, and I was a Boston fan. It was so fun, man. The Knicks are such a storied franchise. It's amazing to see them play well. Granted, I think this is setting up for them to disappoint the Knicks faithful? Unfortunately, yes, I do. Unless they can still figure out a way to get Atlanta first round, because I know you've been high on them. I have not been fully sold on Atlanta. I think the Knicks can win that series because Julius Randle, most improved player, is like not even a question right now. Can we just talk about how we did our predictions? And I had most improved as Michael Porter Jr. and Julius Randle. I mean, shut that talk so quickly. It was ridiculous. Unbelievable. But yeah, man, I'm so with you, man. Something about seeing the Knicks do well. They might be a top. Come on, I mean, this isn't even real. It doesn't even feel real to see the Knicks. And that's also, you know, unfortunately, how the East looks right now is a bit sketchy, to say the least. But, man, to see New York at 4, unbelievable. unbelievable. I would love to see New York versus Brooklyn. Imagine that series. You don't even have to drive far. They're right there. I might just go to New York and just try and catch some tickets for that.
I will say that I'm probably, yeah, I also had Luka. Coach of the year, though. Who did I have at coach of the year? Monty Williams. I did say it. That's insane. Defensive player of the year, AD. That's out of the picture, of course. Injury. Sixth man of the year, Schroeder. He's ended up starting so many games. I had Shai Gilgeous as most improved, which wasn't a bad pick.
No.
But I think stat-wise, I mean, no one's coming close to Julius Randle right now. So I can't even say anything. Let me pull up Shai's stats real fast just so we have it in front of us. Him, Shai Gilgeous this year. Oh, he's averaging almost 24 a game and 6 assists. So that's not a bad pick at all.
What, you're talking about Shai Gilgeous?
Yeah.
Who plays for?
All right. I don't want to hear it. That's improvement.
If we're giving him that most improved, we better give Steph the MVP then with these shooting numbers.
No, you're right. I just wanted to.
No, it wasn't a bad pick.
Yeah, I wanted to have some grace, some dignity. But it's going to be fun. I really wish that LaMelo didn't get hurt, because I think that would make things a lot more interesting in the East. But the fact that he's probably on his way back will make things fun. Still, though, I don't see anyone besides Milwaukee, Philly, or Brooklyn at those top three spots. I think interchangeably you could make a case for any. So we'll see. But any closing thoughts as we near the end of April of 2021? What in the world, man? That is unbelievable how fast time has gone by.
No, you're exactly right. And I mean, honestly, the only comments I had, and I felt this when I watched the UFC and I saw a full crowd. I mean, part of me thought, man, it's crazy, right? Like, I'm not going to a full crowd right now, no mask on. But just to see it, you know, you think we're getting out of this. Like, we are pushing out of this. Like, we are. And at one point, man, we were recording and me and you had absolutely no idea. We would talk on the phone for an hour, 2 hours after recording, just saying, like, what are we doing for the next week? Like, we don't even know how to prepare. We don't know how to get on from this. And look where we're at now. A year later, better than ever, fit as ever. I mean, smooth as ever. I mean, your transitions today were, I mean, something out of a 1980s disco movie. The dance moves were like John Travolta. I mean, beautiful, man. Beautiful, Donnie. I can't even get over it. But here we are, man. We kept kicking. And we tried to tell everybody around us, keep kicking, keep trying to improve, keep trying to
keep
learn.
Keep kicking it.
Keep kicking it with your Kicking It boys, your Kicking It fam. We are always going to bring the positivity. We're going to bring the sports talk. And please stop sleeping on us with these guests, guys. We're only getting started. We're still in double-digit guests right now. We're in the 60s, guys, and we're bringing on Netflix stars. I mean, imagine we're in triple digit, dog. Imagine we're in triple digit. You heard it here. Pardon my take. We're going to have Todd McShay on Kicking It. That's where we're going to be at episode 100. Don't say we already have our. I can't even make the joke, Donnie. We already know who's going to be on episode 100.
And we can't say the name.
Episodes ago.
We can't say the name. We planned this back in June of 20.
We already had episode 100 ready.
Yeah, easy. I think that's a good way to end it, man. Good stuff, always. I can't wait to see what this summer holds for both of us. Both going to be really busy, I'm sure. Making money, you know, gaining experience. I'm excited. But yeah. You said everything perfect. 67th episode, 67 more to come, and then 67 more and more. You get the gist. That's Danny Belcito. This is Donnie Sherrell. Another episode of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie in the books. Be safe, y'all.